All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nida is daf Lamed Dalet, third daf of the fourth parak of Masechta Nida. And so now we are in the world of Tumah Tahara. Remember, let's always need a good reminder that Nida is found in Seder Taharos. So as much as we discuss Nida in the context of a husband and wife, but more so that we're really discussing in the context of Nida becoming a Tmeya when she discharges blood. The Mishnayos here deal with women who are Jewish but have issues in terms of how to practice their Judaism. So the first Mishnah we discussed and finished yesterday was Benos Kusim. We talked about what is the status of a Kusi who bleeds. Her issue is she's a Jew. Let's assume she's a Jew, although that's subject to a debate. But just for the context of our discussion, let's assume that she's a Jew, the full-fledged Jew. And the question is simply that she doesn't know what is Dam Nida, what isn't Dam Nida. She treats everything like Dam Nida, which at first glance you would think wouldn't be a bad thing, but as we discussed already a number of times, could result in a terrible thing because she'll start counting her 7 days of Nida when she sees anything, even if it's yarok, even if it's yellow, and then she'll just simply start counting from there, and she'll finish off 7 days from that point in time, even though the truth of the matter is she doesn't really start becoming a Nida until 2 days, 3 days, 4 days after that, and obviously that would make her, when she tofels in the mikvah, that doesn't relieve her of her Nida status, she's still a Nida, and then when her husband has relations with her, so her husband's a Boel Nida, who's also Tamei himself. And he gave us the opportunity over the last couple days, yesterday especially, to talk about the status of Tumah of a Boel Nida. Man who is a Boel Nida, what degree of Tumah does he have? In short, he's an Ava Tumah, who's Tamei for 7 days, who makes everything a Risho. And even the thing he sits on is going to be a Risho, not an Avatumah. Okay, that's a quick summary of what we've been discussing. The next mission, which we're starting right now, is Benot Tzedukim, daughters of the Sadducees. Tzedukim are a fringe group that lived during the Second Temple, and they were popular during the Second Temple, very popular. In fact, we'll see that there were communities made up of Tzedukim. What were they? So Jews, meaning not unquestionably Jewish, problem is that they weren't buying into the Torah Shabbat path. They didn't have a Daf Yomi. They had a Chumash Yomi. They sat there and learned Chumash all the time. But this oral tradition and the interpretation that we have received, so they ended up rejecting that. The history of the Tzedukim goes back to Antignos Ish Socho. If you learn your Mishnah, it's in Pirkei Avos brings down one of the first of the Zugos, right? There are five sets of Zugos. So one of the first sets of the Zugos was an individual by the name of Antignos Ishoch. I know the name in of itself is a strange name. It's not a Jewish name. It's probably a Greek name, right? The Greek influence during the Second Temple was very strong. And he was fine, meaning he made it to Pirkei Avos. So we're not, you know, No way could you question him, but he had a number of students who went off the derech. They strayed, and they misinterpreted something that he said. He said, "Don't be like somebody who serves their master so that they'll receive a reward, but rather be like you're not going to get a receive reward." He was speaking about an attitude, and they actually took him quite literally that there's no reward, and so therefore they went off the derech. And part of them going off the derech is that they rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh, so they have no oral interpretation. So,
but why do they still do the Torah? It's a good question.
So this leads us to the group known as the Tzedukim. So Benot Tzedukim is Man Shenagulachas Bedarchi Avasem Harein Kikuseim Pirshulachas Bedarchi Yisrael Harein Kiyisraelis. So the Tanakhama is of the opinion like this. Well, it depends. Depends who the Rebbe is. It depends who they follow. If they follow Derech Avosehem, their father's ways, meaning, you know, they behave like Tzedukim, so then you treat them like Tzedukim. You treat them like Kusim, meaning that what are the Kusim's issue? Like we discussed for the past couple of days. They don't know how to separate one type of blood from another type of blood. Every discharge that comes out of her, they treat as Dam Nida. So the Tzedukim are the same as well. It's so interesting. Tzedukim who reject the Torah Shabbat Peh, so as a result of that, so they end up making things worse, meaning that even if it's a yellow discharge that comes out of the body, they're saying, "Look, that's a discharge. That's Nida, right? And the women come to the conclusion that they're in Nida. So all the issues that we had regarding the Kusi is really going to apply to the Tzedukim as well. So, but the Tanakhama says, but when they're following Darche Yisrael, but if they're following the traditionalists of the time, the anti-Tzedukim were called Purushim. Right? Purushim from the word perish, meaning that they gave an understanding, an interpretation of the Chumash. So if they follow the Purushim, so then Harehen Ki Yisraelim. Ki Yisraelim, so then they're going to be treated like Yisrael. So it depends who the Rebbe is. Now, we'll get to the Gemara in just a moment. And Rabbi Yossi Amar La'olan Hein Ki Yisraelim, so Shirfu Shalachav B'darche Avoseihem. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. Rabbi Yossi says the default for them is going to be they're Jewish, meaning they're traditionalists. And we're going to treat them like traditionalists unless we know for a fact that they follow Darche Avoseihem. That's the opinion of Rav Yossi. We have a little bit to explore over here. Ibai Elohu. So the Gemara's questions, the first question goes like this. Tam Amai, look, I know the position of the Tanakhama, and that is, depends who they follow. If they follow their fathers and the Tzeduki ways, they treat them like a Tzeduki. If they follow the Chachamim and the ways of the Chacham, they treat like regular Jewish women. Okay. What if we don't know? Meaning that there's a lot of gray area in the middle, meaning stama. Stama simply means we don't have any history, we don't have any background. We know that she is in the family of Tzedukim, but after that we don't know which way she's following. So stama mai. And the Gemara is asking according to the Tanakhama. Meaning, because we know what the position of Rav Yossi is, Rav Yossi says, is that we're always going to treat them like Israelis unless we know otherwise. So Rav Yossi's position is clear. What about the Tanakhama's position? It's interesting because what you could have done in the Mishnah is you could have done a simple deduction. If Rav Yossi treats a Stam like a Israelis, it seems to be that the Tanakhama argues on that point. Okay, but in the meantime, however, the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah in the following manner. Tashma. So the Gemara looks at the first statement of the Mishnah, that if they follow their fathers, so we treat them like kusim, meaning, but otherwise, stam, if we don't know, we're going to treat them like Israelis. The Gemara says, that's great, but then read the next line of the Mishnah. Pirshul aleches bedarche Yisrael hayin ki Yisraelis. Hastam kukusios. But the next line of the Mishnah says, but if we know that they follow the Chachamim, so we treat them like regular Jews. Which means that if we don't know, we're going to treat them like Kusim. So the Gemara arrives at no conclusion. Meaning, we have conflicting diyukim from the first and second statement of the Mishnah. Therefore, we have no conclusion. Tashma, the Gemara says, how about this? Dinan Rav Yossi Amar Lo La'olan Ki Yisrael Es Hashifush Leches Bedarche Vasem. Mechlal De Tanakhama Sefer Stam Kukusios Shema Minas. Then what the Gemara does is what I suggested just a moment ago. Just simply compare the Tanakhama to Rav Yossi. If Rav Yossi generally views them as Jews, as traditional Jews, so that means that the Tanakhama generally views them as Kusios, unless otherwise known. Shema Minas. The Gemara says that's good. Tan Rabban and the Gemara quotes here Tosefta. Maisa b'tztuki echa shesiper im kohen gadol b'shok. Gemara relates the following story. A conversation takes place between a tzeduki and a kohen gadol. So during the Second Temple period, this is not weird, this is not obscure, meaning that there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of give and take between the traditionalists and the tzedukim. There were a lot of fights, there was a lot of battles. It was a very heated and very tense relationship between the two. So the Gemara over here relates, and by the way, sometimes the Kohen Gadol was a tzeduki, right? That the Gemara in the Mishnayos and Sukkah talk about that, right? Remember the story wasn't with a Kohen Gadol, but one of the Kohanim who didn't believe in Nisar Chamayim on Sukkos, because Nisar Chamayim is not mentioned in the Torah. So then when they got together for the Chumash Yomi, so they never read about Nisar Chamayim. Where does this mitzvah come from? They just simply rejected the whole mitzvah of Nisar Chamayim. So one of the Kohanim who was up there, who was really a closet Siduki, so when it came for him to pour the water down the Mizbeach, he poured it on his feet. Okay, so the Tzedukim in the time of the Second Temple had prominent positions. You know, they made it high in the Kohen echelons. In the meantime, however, we have a conversation between a Kohen Gadol and a Tzeduki. So v'nivzat sinura mipiv v'nafla l'kohen gadol al beganav. And now during the conversation, maybe it was a heated conversation, and you can just see the spit coming from the tzeduki right onto the kohen gadol. Now let's think about this spit of a tzeduki. Now, if we're conjecturing correctly, let's put all the pieces of information together. So this tzeduki is married, right, which means that he's with his wife. And his wife possibly is Anida, right? Because, again, going back to what we just learned in our Mishnah.
Probably she's Anida.
Okay, right? We'll get to that in just a second. So his wife's Anida, so that makes him a Boel Nida. Right? He had relations with Anida, which makes him an Avatuma. Now, what else do we know about an Avatuma? That all the secretions, a lot of the secretions that come out of their body, specifically the urine, specifically the spit that comes out of their mouth, is also going to be an Avatuma as well. Okay. So now, the spit just comes from the mouth of the tzeduki right onto the Kohen Gadol. So we have issues. The Kohen Gadol's got issues. Is he Tame? Horiku Panav Shel Kohen Gadol. He reacts. The Brisa over here gives a strong picture of the reaction of the Kohen Gadol. His face like loses all of its blood. Like he's like just in shock, utter shock. And he now is considering the fact that he perhaps is Tame. Now, the next part of the story is so interesting. V'kadam etzel ishta. So what does this Kohen Gadol do? He runs to the wife of the tzeduki. And he does simple investigative work.
Where is she?
Amra lo, afa pishin eshet tzedukin hain, misyaris mena prushim, omarizdam lechachamim. So she makes the following confession to the Kohen Gadol. I know I live with a tzeduki. I know I'm married to a tzeduki. I know we got all of our tzeduki customs. But just between me and you, I got to tell you. Every time I bleed, and I have a swatch of the blood, I take it to the chachamim. Meaning chachamim over here means the traditionalist, right? Here the Brice actually uses the word prushim. Right? I go to the traditional rabbi. I don't go to my tzeduki rabbi. So I'm Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says, listen, I know them very well, right? If you take a look at Rashi over here, I know them very well. Rashi writes, Ani makir b'nashei tzedukim sheshachin hayalahen. I was neighbors with tzedukim. So like, I know them extraordinarily well. Vein maros dam l'chachamim. And I'm telling you, overall, all of them show their dam to the chachamim, meaning the traditionalists. There was one wife of a tzeduki who didn't show her dam to a chachamim, and she died. Now, I don't have much to tell you about this, meaning how did she die, why did she die? Not clear. But in other words, but I get the basic flavor of the Gemara, which is that Rav Yossi here is testifying that this is the way they all behave. They all, even though they live in their tzeduki families and raise tzeduki children and so forth and so on, but when it comes to Dam Nida, they all become traditionalists. So, period. Okay, so the point of the Braisa, the point of the Tosefta that was just quoted, is again reflecting the two positions that we saw in our Mishnah. Meaning, how did the tzeduki behave? So we have one incident with the Kohen Gadol and tzeduki, where it was demonstrated through that story that his wife showed her dam to a chacham, to a traditionalist, to a prushim. And then we have Rav Yossi, who basically says, same like he said in our Mishnah, they all behave this way. Meaning they're all, in when it comes to Nida and Hilchos Nida, they all become traditionalists. Okay. Gemara, before finishing this discussion, has one last question. Now, what was the story in the Tosefta? Conversation between the Kohen Gadol and the tzeduki, and he spat on him. He, the tzeduki, shared his spit with the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol was concerned. Now, the Tosefta shares with us what his concern was. He may be a Boel Nida. Okay, that was his concern. And he went and he investigated and he found out that she wasn't an Anida. Okay. The Gemara now wants to know, I have another question. It's a very simple question. Isn't the tzeduki an Am Haaretz? And haven't we learned together, and we're learning right now, that an Am Haaretz we generally assume to be Tameh? because they're not marks, and because they're not learned, and because they're not careful about the way they perform mitzvahs, so we have a general concern that they're tamei. And that general concern not only applies to anything they touch, but it obviously applies to their spit as well. So can't we just simply, can't the Kohen Gadol just simply come to the conclusion, I'm tamei for no other reason than I had an amaretz, meaning he happens to also be tzduki, but I had an amaretz, he just spat on me. What about that? The Gemara says, Amar Abaye b'tzduki chaver. So Abaye gives the answer, which we saw yesterday's daf as well. This particular tzduki was a chaver. Sounds like an oxymoron. Meaning, you could be a tzduki and a chaver at the same time. Chaver is somebody who generally is careful about halacha and knows halacha, and okay.
Well, they could be very careful and keep all the tumatara halacha.
Okay, so that's one approach. And the Gemara, and Amar Rava, tzduki chaver bol nida mashasle. So Rava says, and again, we saw this very same line yesterday's daf as well. Well, that's strange. Right? He on one hand, you're saying he's a chaver. On the other hand, the Kohen Gadol is now running to his wife to make sure that he wasn't bol nida. Hard to understand. So Allah Amar Rava, so Rava gives a different explanation. Meaning, let's assume that he is an Amaretz. Okay, so why wasn't the Kohen Gadol worried about him being spat on by an Amaretz and Regal Hava? And it was over the Shlosh Regalim, one of the Shlosh Regalim. And we have a general rule that all Tumah bands, all rabbinic Tumah bands are lifted during the Gimel Regalim.
We assume they went to the mikvah during the
Gimel. All the Jewish people are together. Meaning there's a certain amount of camaraderie when everyone gets together. Because even though all the rabbinic bands are lifted, but when all said and done, he may be bol nida. That's not a rabbinic band.
To the mikveh, he might have been bol nida.
Right, correct. And in other words, from an Amma Aretz perspective, we ignore that over Yontif in general. But on the other hand, he may very well have been a bol nida.
Even if he went to the mikveh, he'd have Tumah for a number of days.
Yeah, in other words, that would right, correct, exactly. That wouldn't help him for his bol nida issue.
When you say all rabbinic bands are lifted, that's only limited to Tumas and Taharas or everything. Can they carry Shofar and Shabbat?
No, I'm just speaking in the world of Tumah Tahara. Just from the rabbinic bands of Tumah Tahara. So, Regal Ava v'Tumas Amaretz, Beregal B'Tahara Shavina Rabbanan. And during Yontif, the Tumas of Amaretz is all lifted. That we treat them like a chaver. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, "Vayesof kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki ish echad chaverim." Now the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shoft, and clearly we got to be talking about a smachta over here, right? I don't know if I can't imagine that this is a drasha gemura, and keep also in mind that we're talking about rabbinic bands of Am Haaretz, so we're not really using a pasuk to relieve ourselves of a rabbinic ban. Okay, we all understand that. And furthermore, you want to know what the pasuk is talking about in context? Shoft in Perek Chaf? I'll tell you. Right? Pilegish Begiva. Meaning what happened is that a woman was raped, and the rapist was in the tribe of Binyamin. Binyamin did not extradite, and Binyamin didn't do anything about it. All the other Shvatim gathered together and waged a civil war against Sheva Binyamin. And after waging the civil war against Sheva Binyamin, then there was a ban against intermarriage between anybody and Sheva Binyamin, and the ban was then lifted subsequently. And this takes us through the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim. It's a watershed event. It's a terrible story. In the meantime, however, Vayesof kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki shechad chaverim. The pasuk says that when all the other 11 tribes get together, they all become chaverim. It's a play on words, meaning, right, it's really, I mean, the pasuk is taken out of context. The context of the pasuk is we're all getting together so that we can wage war against Binyamin. Doesn't sound like true brotherly love, but the point, however, is that when we get together, when everyone gets together, chaverim. Chaverim over here is a play on the word chaver, meaning chaver in the Mishnaic term is a reference to people who are careful about halacha. So there's a certain uniformity that gets together when everyone assembles together. Okay, so that's the.
That doesn't answer the question why they're going to the right to the wife.
Because that's not a rabbinic ban. Meaning the fact that he's Baal Nida is a legitimate concern of a Daraisa. So for that, he needed investigation. He needed to find out whether his wife is a Nida or not a Nida. And she says, I'm not a Nida. I show my blood to a Chacham. So I'm not a Nida. So then the only other issue left is, what about the Amaret? So then the Gemara, this second answer of the Gemara is, well, it was during Yantiv, and therefore there's no Tumas Amaret. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, next Mishnah is, this is complex. Okay, I'm warning you right now. Be warned, this is complex. Let's see if we can follow the string of Mishnayos up until this point in time. We talked about a Kusi and her status of being a Nida. We talked about a Tzeduki and her status of being a Nida. Now, a Kusi and a Tzeduki are both Jewish. The problem is that because they don't know what is and what isn't a Nida, so it results in them very possibly being a Nida when they don't think they're a Nida. Okay. And now we move on to one more group of women, and that's non-Jewish women. Right? Dam Avodas Kochavim. Now let's start the conversation right here before I read the Mishnah. They're not a Nida. Not only are they not a Nida, but I'm saying when they bleed, when they menstruate, so that's not, nothing about that is Tamei. The blood's not Tamei. The women themselves, are not Tameim or Tameot, whichever is proper grammar. Right? They're not. Min HaTorah. The whole halacha of Nida and Tumas Nida only applies to Jews. Tumah and Tahara is only vis-a-vis Jew. It's not vis-a-vis a non-Jew. So Min HaTorah, there's no Tumah really what to talk about. Okay? So when we're reading the Mishnah of Dam Avodas Kochavim and we're talking about it in the context of Nida, so already you know, going forward, we're only talking about a Din D'Rabbanan. The Chachamim slapped a Tumah D'Rabbanan on non-Jews. And the purpose being what? And the answer is separation. Meaning we've seen this in so many different contexts that the Chachamim wanted there to be a healthy relationship but also a healthy separation between Jew and non-Jew. So that it would limit the amount of intermarriage that would exist between Jew and non-Jew and other issues as well, which I'll point to a little bit later on in today's daf. So, there was a Tumah D'Rabbanan that was slapped on all non-Jewish women, and for that matter, non-Jewish men as well, which we will discuss. Dam Avodas Kochavim, V'dam Tahara Shel Mitzara'as, and Dam Tahara of a Mitzara'as. I'm gonna discuss that a little bit later. I'll just read the Mishnah right now. But right now, I'll just focus on the first aspect of the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Metamrim, Beit Hillel Omrim, Kiroka, Uchememe Ragleha. So Beit Shammai says that the Dam is Tahor. Tahor.
They're more medical.
And Beit Hillel says that no, that the Dam that comes out of her is to be treated like her spit and like her urine. Now, I'm just going to finish reading the Mishnah, but really, I want to focus on that first machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel regarding Dam Avodas Kochavim. The Mishnah concludes by saying, Dam Hayoleda Shelo Tavla. What about the Dam of a woman who's given birth? She didn't Tavla in the mikvah. When is a woman who has given birth supposed to Tavla in the mikvah? So if she had a boy, after 7 days. If she had a girl, after 14 days. Remember, we talked about this earlier during the third parak, to transition from the Yemei Tumah to the Yemei Tahara. So after having a boy, she'll Tavla after the seventh day, on the eve of the eighth day. And that transitions her so that the next 33 days, that's Dam Tahara. For having a girl, after the 14th day, on the eve of the 15th day, she tovels in the mikvah, which then transitions her from having dam tahor, from dam tamei to dam tahor. Okay? What if she doesn't tovel in the mikvah? So the Mishnah over here brings down a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and Beit Shammai, that kirokah chamei ragla, that the blood that comes out of her is going to be like her spit, and it's going to be like her urine. And Beit Hillel says, Metamei lach v'yavesh, that it will be that the blood that comes out of her is tamei both when it is wet and when it's dry. And they both agree that if having the baby, she also was a zava gedola, so then the blood comes out of her is going to be tamei both lach and yavesh. Okay, so much to explain over here, so much to go over. Let's take this step by step. So there really are three separate issues going on in this Mishnah. Let's right now cover the first issue of this Mishnah. The first issue of this Mishnah is the blood of an Avodas Kohavim. Now, take a look at Rashi. The first Rashi on the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Metarim. B'dam Avodas Kohavim afagav de barokav ememe ragleh amodu chachamim modu de chachamim gozru aleim lios kezavim l'chol devrayhem. Okay, so we start off with the following fact. A non-Jew is slapped with a Tumah Derabanan. But, like any Tumah Derabanan, it's got to be named, it's got to be labeled. We just can't simply say, they're a non-Jew, they're Tameah. She's a non-Jew, she's Tameah. He's a non-Jew, he's Tameah. Meaning, when the Chachamim place a rabbinic Tumah on them, they label it. What label do they give it? Zav. Zav and Zava. So that means that from this point forward, anytime you see a non-Jew, you know, it's not see, but anytime you are together with a non-Jew, so know that midrabanan, they give off the same tumah that a zav would, they give off the same tumah that a zava would, meaning men and women, respectively.
Zav and a zava is a temporary status, but this is permanent.
Correct. In other words, again, go back to what I said. It's a Tumah Derabanan, but they're just simply naming the Tumah Derabanan. I understand. In other words, it's a strange label considering the fact that this is going to be for them with them forever. So in order now to further appreciate the Mishnah, so you have to know how the Tumah of Zav and Zava behave. Okay. How do the Tumah of Zav and Zava behave? So by Zav, we know that when a man has an emission, now it's not a seminal emission, right, it's not keri, it's zav. It is another type of discharge that comes out. It's also white in color. It's a different shade. And also, it comes out on its own, meaning not bekishui, right? It is not discharged with an action done by the man, not through arousal. It's just simply a fluid that comes out of him. It's not urine. It's some other white substance that comes out of the man.
We don't see such a thing anymore nowadays.
There are diseases, but...
Right,
as a pathology, we have such things, but correct. I don't know how to describe Zav in modern terminology. But anyway, so that is a... And then when the man has his Zav discharge, so now he is Tame. He's an Avatoma, and we know that his secretions of his body, notably his urine, notably his spit, also will be an Avatoma as well. So, and for a woman... When she bleeds during her Yemei Ziva, not during her Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva, so, and she bleeds on three consecutive days, so she's a Zava Gadola. And the same story is with her as well. She's an Avatoma, and her secretions of her body, notably her spit and her urine, are going to be an Avatoma as well. Now, keep this in mind. This is really important. Now, even though I just said that the secretions of their body are Tamei, that's only when the secretions are in liquid state. However, once their secretions dry up, so they no longer give off tuma. Okay? So it's only lach, not yavesh. Okay, that's important. Okay, now this tuma is translated now to the non-Jew. So that the non-Jew also is going to share this facet, this feature, that they're going to be tamei. Anything they touch is going to be tamei. All this is midrabanan. And the spit that comes out of their mouth and the urine that comes out of them also is going to be tamei. But only lach, only in liquid state, not yavesh. Okay.
Wait a second. A non-Jew, like a zav, if he's, they're also on the Tumas Medrash. But we don't.
That's a good question. Is there going to be Tumas Medrash by this rabbinic Tuma of a non-Jew? That's an excellent question. I'm not sure. And I feel like the Mishnah speaks about it outright.
Isn't it similar to the case of a Baal Nida, was an idol worshiper? So
because they're not the ban that's given to them is not Tumas Nida, it's specifically Tumas Zav or Tumas Zava, specifically. Now, this is a mechanism that the Chachamim do, and that is the following. They want to tip off to us that this Tumah is not Tumah Daraisa, but rather this is Tumah Derabanan. So what they do when they effectively place a Tumah Derabanan in something, in this particular case, we're talking about non-Jews in general. So when they put a Tumah Derabanan, they put in, they like almost like a code to tell everybody that this is only Tumah Derabanan, this is not Tumah Daraisa. What difference does it make? Why do we care? It's very simple. Because when they touch Truma, for example, so it being that it's only Tumah Darabanan, not Tumah Daraisa, we would not burn the Truma. Now, we wouldn't eat the Truma, because the Truma is Tumah Midarabanan, but we don't burn the Truma. We cannot burn the Truma. So what they do is they basically encode in this Truma that this is only Tumah Darabanan, not Tumah Daraisa. What's the code? So the hecker, the simon, to show everybody that this is only Tumah Darabanan, not Tumah Daraisa, this is exactly the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Meaning both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing about, this is a very fine point, and hopefully I'm making this well, is what did the Chachamim do to demonstrate to us that this Tumah by a non-Jew is only a Tumah Darabanan, not a Tumah Daraisa? So let's start focusing on, first and foremost, the woman. We'll get to the man later on. But let's right now focus on the woman. I want to continue reading in Rashi. Rashi, Beis Shammai Atari, I'm reading in that first Rashi in the Mishnah. So let me start again from the beginning of the Rashi. B'dam avodos kochav mafagav de baroko v'mei me regla modu de chachamim gazru aleim lios kezavim l'chol divrayim. Even though it's acknowledged and agreed that their spit and their urine are going to be a source of Tumah, Tumah Darabanan, afilo hachi dama tahor. The blood that comes out of her is going to be tahor. Tahor legamre. According to Beis Shammai, what the Chachamim engineered is that her blood that comes out of her body is totally tahor. That's a tip off. That tells us that if she shared spit, if you touched her spit, or if you touch your urine, even though you're going to be tamei, or if that spit or urine comes into contact with truma, the truma is going to be tamei, the truma is only going to be Tumah Darabanan. How do we get tipped off? Because if we touched her blood, I know all this sounds strange, but if we touched her blood, we're not going to be tamei at all. Right? That's the tip off. Now, what does Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel says, I agree with you up to a point. Meaning that the Tumah by a non-Jew, of course, is the Tumah Darabanan. And I agree with you that the spit and her urine are going to be give off Tumah, and it's going to be a Tumah Darabanan. Just like a Zava would be. But here's the point of departure between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I also agree with you that the rabbis engineered it so that people would realize that this is only Tumah Darabanan. But here's what the rabbis did. What the rabbis did is they took her blood and they made her blood Tameh, but only the same degree of Tumah as her spit and as her urine. But nothing more than that. Now, how did that tip us off? Meaning, where's the encoded message? It goes like this. Blood, and we're going to learn this later on. We haven't learned this yet. Blood is metame, dam nid I'm talking about. The blood of a woman, a menstruating woman, is a source of tumah, both when it's liquid and when it's dry. So if you come into contact with dam nida, even after it's dried, and you touch it, your tummy. Right. So what Beis Hillel says is that for this woman, for this non-Jewish woman, the blood that comes out of her is only going to be Tamei Lach, and it's not going to be Tamei Yavesh. And that lets everybody know that this is only a Tumah Darabanan, not a Tumah Daraisa. Now, in order to decode, you have to know a lot of information. Meaning you have to know everything that I just said in order to realize and appreciate that, wow, this is only Tumah Darabanan, it's not a Tumah Daraisa, because look, when it dries, it doesn't give off Tumah anymore. But that only will help us if we know that by Nida of a Jew, it's Metame both when it's Lach and Yavish. Okay, so all this assumes a certain amount of information that we know.
The non-Jew is Tumah herself or just the
blood? Midrabanan?
Yeah.
She'll be Tumah and her blood will be Tumah as well. Huh? She again, Midrabanan, yes. Okay. Take a look at the Rashi.
That's a permanent one because they don't have a power of going to mikveh.
Huh?
That's a permanent one.
meaning, right, all this is just the Tumah Derabanan. Take a look at, we're going to skip a number of Rashis. We're going to go to the Beit Shammai Omrim Karoka Chamei Ragleha. It's a long Rashi, right? I want to tackle this big Rashi over here. Because really Rashi, it's going to repeat a lot of what I said, but please keep in mind, I'm just repeating what Rashi said. So let's go in the correct order. Rashi Beit Shammai Omrim Baroko Chamei Ragleha. Metam Alach Ve'em Metam Yavish. This is the opinion of... No, wait, do I want to do this? Yeah. I'm sorry. And Rashi says, and let me share with you a Tosefta together. Really. Denida kolzman shalotavla harehi benida salachol devera elcha choroka ome meragla betumasan nulakamen perik damanida yafina mikray dein rok shalzav mitame yavesh vidamanami afagav the dam tahor who lebeishame kedamar bigmar debi yume talya rachmana. No, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to do this Rashi right now. Sorry, I apologize. This is for the later machloksim.
So the nafka mina about the blood and the kitzur is that if you touch the blood, you'll either be tama or you're not going to be tama. But so, the woman is always going to be tama.
Yeah, the woman's going to give off tama. Her spit's going to give off tama. Her urine's going to give off tama. She, in other words, we treat her like a zav.
Right.
Or in this case,
and
let me.
If the blood dries up and you touch the blood.
And now. What's the story with the blood? So according to Beis Shammai, it's tahor legamrei. According to Beis Hillel, no. If it's moist, it's going to give off tumah. It'll be just like her urine and just like her spit. But once it dries up, it'll be tahor. And that's the tip-off. That tells us that this is only tumah derabanan, not a tumah deraisa.
So by Beis Hillel, you still have a tip-off. By the fact that the blood dries,
right,
and it's not metamei.
Correct.
As opposed to nida blood, which would dry, and it's still even metamei if you touch the blood itself.
Correct. Now, there are two other issues in the Mishnah, but I'll tell you what, right now, for now, we're going to bypass those two other issues. The issue of the blood of a metzaras, I'm going to come back to it, I promise. And the other issue about a yoledes who didn't tovel in the mikvah on day 7 or day 14. I'll come back to that issue as well. But right now, let's start right with the Gemara. V'leis lula beit shamay daber b'nei yisov v'amart alam ishish ki yezav b'nei yisov metam in b'ziva v'eino v'kuchav metam in b'ziva ava gazer alayim shiyuhu kizav l'chol divrayim. So, the Gemara is scratching its head at beit shamay, meaning beit shamay, don't you know that there's no such thing as a nida when it comes to a non-Jew. There's no such thing as a zava when it comes to a non-Jew, but, and this is an important but, ava gazer alem shiyu kezav l'chol divrayim. But they are to be treated like a zava. So we're treating a non-Jew like a zava. This is a tuma derabanan. So our head scratcher for Beit Shammai is a very simple one. So how can you tell me that the blood that comes out of her is tahor legamre? Beit Shammai, what are you doing? So Amr Lecha Beit Shammai, so now this is a Gemara explaining the thought process of Beit Shammai. Skip the parentheses. Hey Chaliave, so Beit Shammai says, so tell me what I'm supposed to do. So Litame Lach V'Yavesh, because if I take her blood that comes out of her body, and we say that the blood's going to be Tame both when it's liquid and when it's solid, so Asisa Kishol Torah. So then she will mimic the exact Tuma of a Jewish Zava. And that can't be. Meaning everyone agrees that can't be. For her to be an exact carbon copy of a Jewish Zava is untenable. Again, for the reason I explained earlier, because the Chachamim need to show and demonstrate that this is Tuma Darabana, not Tuma Daraisa. So there has to be some sort of distinction. So Lidme Lach V'lo Lidme Yavesh. And so now Beit Shammai says, and now what do you want me to do? Do you want me to say that the blood that comes out of her is only Tamilach and not Tamiyavesh? Chilak de Bishol Torah. That will just confuse everybody. Everybody. Because then what people will say is, oh, I see. So for the non-Jew, when she bleeds, so it's only Tamilach but not Yavesh. Ah. So the same thing must be true with a Jew as well. Meaning that when a Jewish woman bleeds, the blood that comes out of her is only Tamilach and not Yavesh. Meaning, right? And it's an easy mistake to make. Because that's true by the spit of a Jew, who's a Zava or Zava. It's true by the urine of a Jew, who's a Zava or Zava. So it's people may come to make the mistake that the same thing is true by the blood of a Jew. So Beit Shammai says, so now what do you want me to do? So Ihachi Roka Meme Ragla Nami Kevin Dabdina Neker Bedama Medi Idea de Roka Meme Ragla de Rabbanan. So what I'm gonna do now, says Beit Shammai, is I will just simply take blood out of the whole discussion, meaning that the blood that comes out of a non-Jew is Tahor Legamre. And so now that will alert everybody that even when we say that the non-Jew is Tame, and the spit of the non-Jew is Tame, and the saliva of a non-Jew is Tame, it's only Derabanan. And how do we tip it off? By going out of our way and saying that the blood is Tahor. So that's how everyone realizes it. So the Gemara says, so, but why don't we do it the other way? Meaning, if all this is a way for the Chachamim to construct and tell everybody that this is only Tumah Derabanan, not Tumah Deraisa, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we make the blood that comes out of her tummy and her spit and her saliva and her urine Tahor? Right? Once we're leaving things out. So the Gemara says very simply, Roko meme ragla dishchichu gazru b'rabanan, damad lo shchichu lo gazru b'rabanan. Spit comes out of her mouth all the time. Urine comes out of her body daily. So in other words, if the whole purpose of this gzera d'rabanan is to create separation between the new Jew and the non-Jew, so make the gzera on things that come out of her daily. Blood does not come out of her daily. Blood will come out of her once a month. One time period during a month. So if the purpose of it is to create separation, it is much more shaykh to make the gzera on her spit and her urine. Amarava. Okay, so far so good. It's a complex discussion, but hopefully I presented it with some clarity. Hopefully, all this now so far we've discussed vis-a-vis a woman. Okay, but we haven't talked about the non-Jewish man, right? So in other words, here's what we know. We'll go back a couple lines in the Gemara. An Ove Kochavim is going to be given the status of a Zav and a Zava. A Zav for a man and a Zav for a woman. What are we doing for the Zav? Meaning, how are we telling the world that for the Zav, for the non-Jewish man, it's only Tumah Derabanan, not a Tumah Daraisa? The next part of the Gemara. Amar Rav Zava Tamei Afilu Beit Shammai Kiryo Tahor Afilu Beis Hillel. So for the man, it's really easy. So, right? So to speak. Well, for the man, the Zov emission that comes out of his body is Tamei. The semen that comes out of his body is Tahor. And that's it. And that's where we'll draw the line, and that's how everyone's going to know. Now, Tamei Afilu Beis Shammai, I'm sorry, Lebeis Hillel Zova Tamei Afilu Beis Shammai. Da'ik Lamavid Ekera B'Kiryo, Kiryo Tahor, Afilu Beis Hillel. Ave Be Rabbanan Kehekera Kehechad Alalisra Faleha Truma V'Kadashim. Okay, so, and again, all this is to create that hecker so that everyone knows that the Tumah is only Tumah Derabanan. Now, the Gemara says, same question that we asked previously, V'lavit Heker Rebbe Zovo, Ulitmuli Kiryo. Look, we're going to make one emission Tame and the other emission Tahor. The purpose of making one of them Tame is to create separation. The purpose of making the other one Tahor is to show that this is only Tumah Derabanan. So why did you choose the Zav emission to be Tame and the Keri emission to be Tahor? Couldn't you have gone the other way? So the Gemara explains like this. Zavo de lo tale b'maise gazru be rabbanan, kirio de tale b'maise lo gazru be rabbanan. Here's the thought process. Zav emission that comes out of the man is beyond his control. It happens. There's no arousal. It's not a result of any thoughts that he has. It just simply happens. It's a pathology. And so therefore, because it's beyond his control, so therefore, the Chachamim were more apt to label that Tamei than Keri, because Keri is much more in his control. And it's more demonstrative of the fact that this is a Tumah Derabanan, slapping it on something that comes out of his body without him being able to control it. Okay. Lema Misayele, let's finish up today with a proof for Rava. Meaning what Rav is postulating is that even though in our Mishnah there's a debate by the woman, by the non-Jewish woman, in terms of what's going to be the tip-off, but for a man, what Rav is arguing is there's no debate. Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree. The Zav emission is Tamei, the Keri emission is Tahor, And we all agree. Beisham and Beisal agree. So Leim and Misrael, Leav and Eskochavim, Shepalta Shech Vazerim Yisrael, Temea. I have a non-Jewish woman who is emitting, she's discharging the zera of a Jew. Yes, that means that the Jewish man and the non-Jewish woman were having relations. Okay. And obviously, in no way, shape, and form are we condoning it, just simply discussing what if. What if that were to happen? So the shechva zera that comes out is Temea. Meaning because that's shechva zera of a Jew. Even though it was held in the body of a non-Jewish woman, but the moment that it comes out, it doesn't lose its identity. It's still the shechva zera of a Jew. Ubasi Yisrael shepalta shechva zera min ovi kochavim tahora. And let's flip. If I have a non-Jewish woman who had relations with a Jewish... If I had a Jewish woman, thank you, who had relations with a non-Jewish man, and she emitted the zera of the non-Jewish man, it's tahor. Now, that's the end of the braisa. Now, it says that it's tahor. This does seem to support Rava. Rava says that the carry of a non-Jewish man is tahor. Tahor legamre. So, my love tahor, gemura lo tahor medaraisa tamei medarabanan. So the Gemara says it's not an absolute proof to Rava, because the way you can interpret the Braisa is that when the Braisa says that it's Torah, it means it's Torah min haTorah, but midr abundance tame. Okay, let's try it this way. Tashma nimseis omer shechva zera shel Yisrael tamei mikom makom. It's another Braisa. This Braisa is making the same point, but as you'll see, this Braisa will be conclusive. And if I have shechva zera coming out, shechva zera of a Jew is tamei under all circumstances. Top of the next amud. Ve'afilu b'me'a v'ariz kochavim. Even if it's encapsulated in the body of a non-Jewish woman. V'shal ovi kochavim, shechva zera of a non-Jew, is tar b'chol makom ve'afilu b'me'a yisraelis. Chutz me'me'a raglayim shabbat. With exception, of course, to her urine. Meaning that the urine of a non-Jew is going to be tamei. Now, you want to try what you tried earlier on the previous braisa, that when we use the word tahara, it means tahara min haTorah, but tamei midrabanan, that can't be. Because we just got finished talking about the urine of a non-Jew. Now, we all agree that the urine of a non-Jew is tamei midrabanan, not midaraisa. So we already know that we are on a derabanan level. We're operating on a derabanan level, and the Bryce is using the word tahor. So what does the word tahor mean? Legamre. It means absolutely tahor, shmamina. So the Gemara has conclusively proven that Rava is correct. That for a male non-Jew, his zav emission is tamei midrabanan, his keri emission, his semen emission, is tahora afilu midrabanan. And again, this is a tip-off that his tumah is only tumah d'rabbanan, not a tumah d'araisa. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Again, let's just quickly wrap it up. Okay, we finished today the discussion of the benot tzedukim, right? It seems to be a machlokas in the Mishnah, how we generally view them without knowing any information, but here's what we could say definitively. If they follow the ways of the traditionalists, the Purushim, so then they're treated like Prushim. If, however, they follow their family tradition of not caring about the Torah Shabbat Peh and not regarding the Torah Shabbat Peh, so then we treat them like Kusim, which means that they're Nida and their husbands are Bol Nida. Okay, and then we have that story of the Kohen Gadol speaking with the Tzeduki. And then we moved on to the discussion today. Two parts of the Mishnah, just remember for tomorrow, two parts of the Mishnah I really didn't explain. I'll do that tomorrow. The first part of the Mishnah, however, we did explain, and that is the dam of a non-Jewish woman. Non-Jewish men and non-Jewish women are slapped with a tumah d'rabbanan in order to create separation between Jew and non-Jew. And then there is the only issue is the tip-off issue. Meaning, how do the Chachamim express that this is only Tumah D'Rabbanan, not Tumah D'Araisa? That's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Where Beis Shammai says that the blood that comes out of her is Torah Legamre, because they feel there's no other way we could do it. And Beis Hillel says, no, The tip off is going to be that when the blood comes out of her, the blood is only tamei lach, but not tamei yavesh. That's the tip off, because we know in general blood is tamei both lach and yavesh. Okay, and then the ensuing discussion that we saw today: what about a man? What about a male non-Jew? So Rava says we have full agreement, and the Gemara concludes that he's right, that the zav emission is tamei, the keri emission is tahor, and that's your tip off by the man.